Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Monday, January 6th, and coming up in today's episode, contractor arrested in journalist Mukesh Chandrakar's murder. Tamil Nadu government and governor face off over national anthem as opposition protests Anna University sexual assault case. First HMPV infection confirmed in India, and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau rumored to resign as party leader. A contractor has been arrested in the murder case of Bastar journalist Mukesh Chandrakar, whose body was found in a septic tank in Chhattisgarh last week. Notably, Mukesh Chandrakar had been reporting on alleged scams in road construction by these contractors. Suresh Chandrakar, the main accused, was arrested in Hyderabad today. He also happens to be the victim's distant cousin as well as being a contractor. While addressing a press conference on Saturday last week, Chhattisgarh Home Minister had mentioned that Mukesh had reported on poor construction work on December 25th and the government had then ordered an inquiry after the reporter alluded to a large-scale or a massive fraud happening within the project. As Mukesh had exposed this massive fraud, according to the Indian Express, the cousin, who happens to be a private contractor, was possibly involved in the same project and could have taken revenge from Mukesh for exposing the contractors skimming crores of government money. Since the murder came to light, Suresh had been missing. According to the police, Suresh Chandrakar was hiding at his driver's home in Hyderabad and is currently being questioned by the police, officials said. Earlier, four bank accounts linked to Suresh Chandrakar were frozen and an illegally constructed yard owned by him was demolished as well. As the journalist could have lost his life for reporting on this alleged scam and exposing the contractors, the Press Association, a leading body of journalists in India, said the tragic incident highlighted the urgent need for a stronger safeguard to ensure journalists who perform their vital role can do so without fear of retribution. Mukesh Chandrakar's body was found in a septic tank in a shed owned by the contractor in Chhattisgarh's Bastar last week. The independent journalist, who was also a contributing reporter for NDTV, was last seen in his home in Bijapur on New Year's Day. When he did not return, the journalist's brother Yukesh filed a missing complaint the next day. After beginning an investigation, police found the 32-year-old's body in his cousin's premises not very far from his own home. According to a post-mortem report, Mukesh Chandrakar was attacked with heavy object and suffered severe injuries to his head, chest, back and stomach. His body was identified only through a tattoo on his head as he was pretty swollen. The Communist Party of India, Maoist, which is a banned outfit, condemned the murder and demanded a thorough probe into the killing. They also praised Chandrakar for exposing corruption in road construction projects in Chhattisgarh and said the journalist performed his duty dutifully by raising issues related to people, politics and culture. Three persons, including two of Chandrakar's relatives, have been arrested in the case. While his cousin Ritesh Chandrakar was arrested from Raipur Airport on Saturday, Mahindra Ramtek, a supervisor, with Dinesh Chandrakar, another relative of the victim, were taken into custody from Bijapur. From evacuation of legislators protesting the Anna University rape case to a standoff between the Tamil Nadu government and the governor, adding new stress on that already strained relationship, the first day of Tamil Nadu Assembly 2025 got off to a rocky start. First off, Tamil Nadu Governor Arun Ravi refused to deliver his customary address to the Assembly today and walked out in protest of the national anthem not being sung at the beginning of the address. According to the state tradition, the state anthem Tamil Thaivalthu is sung when the House meets and the national anthem at the end. But Governor Ravi had taken exception to this norm and said the national anthem should be sung at both times. After the governor walked out, Assembly Speaker M. Appavu delivered the customary address that was to be read by the governor. This is not the first time the Raj Bhavan and DMK government have sparred over the custom in Tamil Nadu Assembly. Last February, the governor had refused to deliver the customary address to the Assembly and said the draft had numerous passages with misleading claims far from the truth. The Raj Bhavan also said the national anthem must be shown due respect and played both at the beginning and the end of governor's address. In 2022, R.N. Ravi refused to read parts of the speech that had names of B.R. Ambedkar, Periyar, C.N. Annadurai, besides the phrase Dravidian model and some references to law and order in Tamil Nadu. He had then walked out even without waiting for the national anthem after the House adopted a resolution to record only the official speech and not the governor's version of it. Ever since he took office as Tamil Nadu governor in 2021, Mr. Ravi has had frosty ties with the M.K. Stalin-led state government. The DMK government has often accused him of acting like a BJP spokesperson and blocking bills and appointments. However, the governor maintains that the constitution itself empowers him to withhold his assent to legislation. And more chaos ensued as the opposition AIDMK and BJP MLAs protested and raised slogans against the Anna University sexual assault case. Several leaders, including leader of the opposition, Edappadi K. Palaniswamy, who led the protest, also held placards in the house. The assembly speaker, M. Appavu, asked the protesting MLAs to stop the sloganeering. However, as they did not stop, the speaker ordered marshals to evacuate them. Following this, Patali, Makal Kachi, PMK and other BJP leaders also walked out of the assembly. According to BJP MLA Vanathi Srinivasan, they do not have any faith in the government's investigation into the sexual assault case. Quote, "We suspect someone is being safeguarded. Opposition is not politicizing the issue. We are just raising women's safety issues," she told NDTV. The ruling DMK government has been facing challenges, as its allied party, the VCK, has also submitted a notice to the speaker to discuss the issues surrounding Anna University sexual assault case. The incident took place on December 23rd when a 19-year-old engineering student was allegedly sexually assaulted on the Anna University campus. The victim in her complaint said that the assailant had attacked her and her male friend, brutally assaulting the latter before dragging her to nearby shrubs. The headline-making HMPV infection has been officially confirmed in India. Two cases of the human metapneumovirus or HMPV were reported in Bengaluru today, first in a 3-month-old baby who has been discharged from the hospital already and an 8-month-old who is recovering at the hospital in the Karnataka capital. This marks the first reported cases of HMPV in India. The virus, whose recent surge was first reported in China, has been a matter of grave concern for the world as it is apparently spreading very fast within the country. Though comparisons have been drawn with the COVID-19 pandemic or the coronavirus we saw in 2019 and 2020, the facts differ a little in this case. According to the Indian Express, unlike COVID-19 pandemic, where the virus causing the infections was unknown, the novel coronavirus, that is, HMPV, is an already known viral infection that leads to an estimated 12% of all respiratory infections in children. However, the two babies and their families report they do not have any recent international travel history, which rules out the possibility that they could have contracted the virus from another country. Clarifying the status of the virus, the Union Health Ministry issued a statement saying HMPV is already in circulation globally, including in India. The cases of respiratory illnesses associated with HMPV have been reported in various countries already, and added that the infections found in Bengaluru have no connection to the reported surge in respiratory infections in China. The ministry claimed both the cases were identified through routine surveillance for multiple respiratory viral pathogens as part of ICMR's ongoing efforts to monitor respiratory illnesses across the country. According to the U.S. Center for Disease Control, HMPV causes upper and lower respiratory infections. It affects individuals across all age groups, with young children and the elderly, and those with a compromised immune system being the most vulnerable. The virus can occasionally trigger pneumonia and exacerbate chronic respiratory conditions. Cases tend to typically rise during winter and early spring, and China has maintained that this surge is a winter phenomenon, while India has requested citizens not to panic. Is Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau stepping down as the leader of his Liberal Party and effectively resigning? Reports suggest the announcement can come in as soon as Monday or Tuesday. The Globe and the Mail reported on Sunday and cited three various sources that they do not know definitely when Trudeau will announce his plans to leave, but they say it should be expected before a key National Caucus meeting, which is scheduled for Wednesday. The Canadian Prime Minister, according to Reuters, has not yet responded to these queries. And according to Reuters, it remains unclear whether Trudeau will leave immediately or stay on as Prime Minister until a new leader is elected, the report added. The Prime Minister is facing turbulence both from within his party as well as opposition due to a series of governance crises in the last 1 year. According to a late 2024 survey by Ipsos, only a 33% of surveyed Canadians approved of Trudeau and his government, while a massive 67% were dissatisfied with his leadership, especially when it came to the cost of living crisis and immigration. Housing and the basic cost of living in Canada remains critical and keeps exponentially rising, with Toronto becoming one of the most expensive and unaffordable cities to live in globally. In the same survey, Pierre Poilievre remained the top pick for Prime Minister among 45% Canadians. The conservative or right-wing opponent has been cornering Trudeau on a variety of topics, including alleged free hand given to Khalistan sympathizers. The rise of approval for Poilievre comes within a time when a vast majority of Canadians have taken anti-immigration stances, be it in rallies or on social media. Many have been against Trudeau's immigration policies, claiming that these immigration policies have flooded Canada with people, resulting in the housing crisis, increased food prices, homelessness, and so on. It got so bad that Trudeau had to take a stand and say that he will be curbing immigration in an order to please an already alienated country. Trudeau took over as Liberal leader in 2013 when the party was in deep trouble and had been reduced to the third place in House of Commons for the first time. Trudeau's departure would leave the party without a permanent head at a time when polls show the Liberals will badly lose to the Conservatives in an election that must be held by late October. His resignation is likely to spur fresh calls for a quick election to put in place a government which shall be able to deal with the administration of neighboring country's president-elect, Donald Trump, according to Reuters. The Prime Minister has discussed with Finance Minister Dominic LeBlanc whether he would be willing to step in as interim leader and Prime Minister. And one source told a newspaper that it would be unworkable if LeBlanc plans to run for the leadership himself. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.